Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out the website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's sermon is from Frank Van Zandt, Jr. We invite you to take your Bible and study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Good day, neighbors and friends, and welcome to the radio broadcast of the Brummett Church of Christ. My name is Frank Van Zandt, Jr., and I'd like to welcome you here for the next 25, 30 minutes or so, and we'd like to share with you some words from God's Holy Bible that has given us light and direction in this world for so long, many centuries, to help us in the things that we need to know about God and to help us to bring ourselves into submission to the things in which God would have us to be and what we should be doing. You know, as we walk through life, we find it hard to deal with sin. Sin's all around us, and sometimes it's hard to tell what we should do with it and what we should not do with it. Sometimes we should stop and examine why it's so hard. You know, sin shouldn't be that hard to deal with. We should either accept it or reject it. We should do what we know is right. He said, those who know to do right or do what God's will is and doeth it not, to them it is a sin. And if any enemies wants to stop our progress, you know, he will often spread lies to us to help stop us from doing what we need to do. It's a poison that's comes upon us, and it causes public opinion to turn against us, and we have very little influence of what cause we have to go forth if lies are spread about us. But you know, there's one thing that we never need to do, and that's lie to ourselves. We can be our own worst enemies when we do that. And Satan knows that, and he uses that and causes us to do that, to lie to ourselves in order to stop the progress of us saving our soul. You know, we must stop telling these things, because James tells us over here in chapter 4, we'll read over here in chapter 4 and verse 7, that Satan is there, and he's going to try to do with us what he can to cause us to be lost. But he tells us in chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when we realize that we're lying to ourselves, we have to realize that Satan leading us on the direction that he wants us to go. And as we examine these things that we often use a lot of times to lie to us, he said, resist the devil and he'll flee from us. And you know, one of the biggest things that people use is, I don't have time. People don't have time to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service. They don't have time to go visit the sick or the elderly or none of these things. They always have something more important to do. But the truth is, we all have exactly the same amount of time. And if we use it wisely, we can do what God intends for us to do and not be caught up in the lie of telling ourselves we don't have time. It's ever how we arrange things in our life, what our priorities are, determines what we have time for and what we don't. If we invest so much time in the things of this world, it will take away from the time and the things that we know that we should be doing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, there in verse 13 and 14, he said, "Let us consider the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This is our number one priority. This is something that we need to make time for, no matter what else we have to give up. And he said, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." We need to remember our first order of business is to make time for the Lord. And then the rest of it will come behind that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he said, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, what will it profit us if we get all the laundry done, if we go and mow the grass the way it's supposed to, if we get a car washed, we watch all the TV we want to, work so hard that we get a promotion, and finish up our education, and then lose our soul? Matthew over here in chapter 16 warns us about falling into that trap of letting the world consume our time to where we don't have time to do what we need to do to serve the Lord. Because when this happens, we have fallen into the trap that Satan has set for us. In verse 26, he said, "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So when we tell ourselves we don't have time, we're just lying to ourselves. Because everybody has the same amount of time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everybody's hour has 60 minutes in, and every minute has 60 seconds. So if we don't have time, it's because we've not made time. We've put something else before the Lord. If you don't have time to go to a Sunday morning services, it's because you've put something else first. If you don't have time to go Sunday night, it's because you have put something else first. If you don't have time to go visit or to see to the things, if you don't have time to read your Bible, it's because you've put something else first. And we don't just need to admit that and not lie to ourselves, because we do have the time. It's just how we use it. You know, a lot of times people says, "I have plenty of time to do what the Lord wants me to do." We don't have plenty of time to do what the Lord wants us to do. It's the day of salvation. He said today is the day of salvation. And you know why? It's because yesterday's gone and we can't bring it back. And tomorrow may never come. So here's just simply laziness on our part if we don't do what we know is right. In Proverbs over here, he talks about how that we need to consider some of the lower things of this life to show us the necessity of getting to the things that we need and know that needs to be done. In chapter 6 of Proverbs, in verse 6 there, he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Well, he said, look at the little lowly ant. No one's over it, but it does its work. It prepares its food, it brings it in, it labors hard each day to do what it knows it needs to do. Verse 9, they said, "How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou rise out of thy sleep, thy laziness? When will you rise up and do what you know to do is right?" The Satan will try to tell you, you have plenty of time. Don't worry about it. You can do it next year, or the year after that. But the truth is, you may not have that year next year, or you may not have the finish of this one. You know, life is a fleeting thing. It doesn't wait on anyone. As we get older, we realize this. In 1 Peter chapter 1 over here, and in about verse 24 of that chapter, he said, "For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of the man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away." He says, we're just like a flower coming up. We're in a bloom for a season, but then it withers away. It's gone. We too are like that. We have a season. We're born into this world, we're born to die. Just like when that little seed germinates out of the ground and the flower stem comes up and it has those two little leaves on it and it's just the first peeping out of the ground, it is destined for the falling away. It's to dry up and blow away. And we are as well when we're born. James chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, "We're a vapor that appears for a little time and then we vanish away." We look over here in 1 John, and we find in chapter 2, and in verse 17, he says, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He said, if we want to exist forever, don't believe the devil that you have plenty of time. Get on to what you need to do now. And he said, then we will endure forever. You know, too many people don't have their priorities in order. If we do, we'll be like Ecclesiastes tells us. The whole conclusion of the matter is that we're put here to fear God and keep his commandments. Not to see how much time we can put in on the job. Not to see how much money we can make. Not to see how much entertainment we can crowd into our lives. We are here to serve God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 said, when we put him first, then all these other things will come along in order afterwards. You know, another lie, we think sometimes no one will see me when we do certain things. A lot of people think their sins won't find them out. They think that if they do them in secret, that it's all right. They have gotten by with it. But you know, in Numbers over here, in chapter 32, he warns these people of his, the Israelites. He tells them there that their sins will not go unnoticed. He tells them in verse 23, he says, but if we will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. He said, just remember that your sins are not going to be hidden. They will be found out. They will be seen. They will be known of God. We find an example of this over in Acts chapter 5. We find Ananias and Sapphira. The early church in its infancy there was needing help. Those Jews there that became Christians there in Jerusalem had begun selling possessions and helping one another there in the early church. Ananias and Sapphira says they had a possession and sold it. And they brought the money before the apostles there. And they told them, said, we sold it for this much and here's the money. But they lied. They sold it for more than what they said they did. Peter told him, he said, why, wasn't it yours to keep? Wasn't it yours to sell? No one forced you to sell it. This was supposed to be on free will. Why did you come here and lie to the Lord? Well, you could have kept it all. It didn't matter. But you come and told this lie, and Peter knew it as soon as they told it. Her husband done that, and he fell dead and was carried out, and his wife come in after him and backed him up in this lie, and she too died. So we find our lies will find us out. We will be known for treachery. You know, it doesn't matter if we're on the internet and we think nobody's looking, or where we take a drink in secret with the doors closed, or evil thoughts that pass through our minds. We think, well, who's going to know it? God does. Our sins are not unknown. You know, another lie people tell themselves, well, it doesn't matter. This is just the way I am. God made me this way, so why would he expect anything else? Well, Ezekiel tells us different than that, that we're not made that way. We become that way. And it doesn't matter whether it's a bad temper. It doesn't matter if we're an adulteress. It doesn't matter what we are. If it's sinful, God didn't make us that way. We become that way. And chapter 28 and verse 15, he says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Perfect. God said he made us perfect. It's when iniquity, when we came to sin and we chose sin over righteousness, is when we became wrong. People today in our society tells us that homosexuality is something we're born with and we can't help it. That's a lie. That's a lie they tell themselves to try to justify themselves and their deeds. People says, I can't hold my temper. I was born with it. My uncle had a bad temper, my grandpa, and I inherited his bad temper. No, you didn't. You learned to have a bad temper. You learned it when you showed your temper and you got by with something when you were younger, and you learned it helped you get by with things by showing your temper, and as time went on, you used it as a crutch to get you by. God didn't make you that way. You became that way. Some people said, well, I can't help it. I just lust after women or men, and that's just the way I am. God made me that way, and I can't help it. Yes, you can. God didn't make you that way. You chose to be that way. And doing so, and we tell ourselves those lies to try to justify ourselves in the sins that we have wrapped ourselves up in. And you know, we have to learn that we have to be responsible for our sins, no matter what they are, whether it's being a homosexual, whether it's being an adulteress, whether it's being a liar, or someone who goes off half-cocked with a bad temper. Whatever the thing is, God didn't make us that way. We've done it to ourselves. And we have to take the responsibility because we will be judged for it. Verse 17 of James chapter 1, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, he doesn't make one person be able to live right and another one not. He said all these good things comes down from him, and he doesn't make any difference between who he gives them to. You know, some people just have to realize these things are lies that we tell ourselves. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can ask for forgiveness later. I can enjoy the sin now, and I'll ask for forgiveness later. This is a sham. It's a misuse of God's grace. It's a rebellion against God. Well, true repentance come when we need it in later time. Sometimes he says he'll harden men's heart. He'll callous them and he'll turn them over to a reprobated mind to believe a lie and be damned if they keep rejecting him. Well, you know, Romans over here in chapter 6 and verse 17, he tells us, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. It ain't something that one day you just decide, well, now it's time to change. He said, well, it has to come from the heart. It ain't something you write on a calendar date, so all right, on this date, so-and-so year, I'm going to repent and come to the Lord. He said, first of all, it has to come from the heart. It has to come from the faith that's built in you from hearing the Word of God, and it brings about that repentance from the heart. It ain't something that you can plan for or make a date for. Sometimes we have to remember, are you sure you'll be able to repent later? We might die suddenly and not have the time. You know, another lie that a lot of people tell themselves is, it's okay, my intentions was good. A lot of people reject God's will, and they say that all things are all right religiously because their purpose is good. They have the right purpose in their heart. Their intentions is good. Ask Uzzah over in 2 Samuel chapter 6. You turn over there and read this story. The ark was being moved back to Jerusalem. They built a new cart to put it on to haul it back. As it was going along being pulled by these oxen, the cart jolted. The ark almost tilted off. Uzzah, who had the best intentions in the world to hold the ark and steady it, reached out and touched it. And he died instantly. Why? He had the best intentions. But God told him not to touch the ark. He told only the priest to. Not only that, it was not to be moved upon a new cart by oxen, but it was to be carried on staves by the priest on their shoulders. See, Uzzah wasn't supposed to touch it. It wasn't supposed to be on the cart. Now, they had the best intentions in the world. They intended to take it back to Jerusalem where it belonged. But in doing so, they misused and didn't use God's way of doing it and made up their own way and therefore defiled it, and it costed this man's life. How many times have people done this today? Lied to themselves thinking, well, as long as I've got good intentions, do it. I hear that all the time. I point out in the Bible to people about these social activities in the church being wrong. They say, oh, but it's for a good reason. It gets the young in there to church. For what, though? To have a good time or to hear the gospel preached? I hear it all the time. Preachers said, oh, don't preach hell and things because that hurts people's feelings. You want to have a good intention and tell them about heaven and make it as easy as possible. You can't make it no easier than the gospel is. It is what it is. We can't change it to suit anyone. Just because you've got good intentions doesn't make it right. We have to tell the truth, all of it, not hold back anything from anyone. You know, sometimes people want to spare other people's feelings, so they feel like they need to hold back some of the things that's hard. But you know, the hard things is what causes repentance, brings about repentance. When we tell a little lie sometimes to try to protect someone, we may have good intentions of protecting them, but it's still a lie. And he said all liars will have their part of the lake of fire. You know, even if we steal to feed a family, that's not necessary. People says, well, it's for a good reason, a good cause. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. He said, none of God's people has ever begged bread. We won't need to steal if we'll just serve him first. If we won't lie in the beginning about putting it off or doing something else first or not having enough time, he said, there'll be no need for that. Politicians lie to get elected. I said, for a good reason. I can do a lot of good when I get elected. It's still a lie. It's still wrong. It won't be accepted of God. People say, well, when it's for a good cause, it's all right. No, it's not. Good intentions will not get us saved. You know, another thing is some people say, well, I'm sure God will be pleased with it. Well, how do we know if God will be pleased with it? It feels right, they say. 1 Samuel chapter 15, reading verses 10 through about 24, is the story of a man by the name of Saul who was appointed king over Israel. He was told to go down and kill these people, utterly destroy them because they had fought against God's people. He goes down there to do it. Now this is God's command to him. Don't leave nothing. Kill the king, all the people, all the animals. Don't spare anything. When he comes back and Samuel, which is the priest, asked him, what is this he hears out there, the lowing of the cattle and the baying of the sheep? And he said, the people there wanted to bring these back. Here's my intention to serve God by sacrificing them. We're going to use them to sacrifice. You know what? It felt right. It sounds right. But it's all wrong. What happened there? Was he didn't obey God. Samuel looked at him. He said, it's better to obey than to sacrifice, Saul. For this reason, your kingdom has been rent from you. This was what happened to him, doing what felt right or what pleased him, or being sure that God would be pleased with his changing of his commands. People today in the Lord's church try to change God's commands continually using the lie to tell themselves, well, I'm sure God will be pleased with it. You know, in the New Testament, there is no command whatsoever to put music in the worship of the Lord. No instrumental music whatsoever, but yet it's put there. And when I talk to people about it, and I say, well, doesn't the scriptures tell us not to add anything to it or to take from it? And they say, oh, I'm sure God likes to hear music too. That's a lie they're telling themselves. They don't know what God likes. If God had liked it, he would have commanded it to be in there. And they'll go back to Daniel and say, well, Daniel played it. He had these instruments, and he tells us to play upon the harps and the cymbals and so forth and so on. Excuse me. But as you look back at David back there, David did this, but he also committed adultery with Bathsheba and had a bastard child, and it died because it went against God's commands. David did a lot of things wrong. So that's never the answer to the question. But in the New Testament, there's neither example nor proof that God wants this in it, and we have to reject it because of it. But now, sometimes another lie people wants to tell is that I'm too young to right now. They think that they need to enjoy sin for a while, and then they can become a Christian. But you know, if you go in the cemetery, there's as many people that are young buried there as they're old. We don't know if we're going to have time later or where we can do it later. But you know, 1 Timothy over there in chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy to remember his Creator in his youth, but not only that, in his youth be an example. And as we're an example when we're young, then we need to do it while we're young. In chapter 4 there, in verse 12, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." While you're young, Timothy, he said, be an example. People need to do it while they're young. And they need to set the examples. And they need to follow God's will, because they don't know when they will grow old, and if they won't, or if they die young. And not only that, look at the years you waste that you could persuade others to be Christians while you are young. You know, Titus chapter 2 there, starting in about verse 6, he said, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober." He said, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." You know, we need to remember that just because we're young don't mean we don't need to serve the Lord. We're not too young to overcome, because 1 John over here in chapter 2 and in verse 13 tells, he said, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." Even as little children, we can obey God. We can serve him. We don't need to lie to ourselves and say, "I'm too young." A lot of times people say, "I'm too old. I've done my part. It's time for me to quit." That's another lie. He tells them, Titus, he said, the older women should teach the younger women. The older men should be example for the younger men. Teach them. There's a lot to be done when we're older. That's why he said that we need to place elders in the church. Older men who are wise and experienced and able to lead in the right direction, because of their knowledge, of their experience, and their proven faithfulness. We're never too old. We're just finally old enough. There's no way he'll ever convert is another lie people tell themselves, to not to teach the gospel to those who are lost. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also the Greek." He tells us that we're sowing seed. We're not soil testers. We just sow the seed that God has given us. It'll fall in some thorny ground, but some will fall into good, and there's plenty enough seed to go around. All we have to do is put it to use. I thank you for being with us today. I want to welcome you back to our radio program any chance that you have, and any time you're in the area, you're more than welcome to come and be with us in the Brummett Church of Christ services. And at this time, we want to bid you a good day.